Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. Welcome to this new episode of The Gut Goddess Show. And this week we're talking about thrush, what it is, what you can do about it, why it's not normal, and all the juicy or itchy details, shall we say, about all things thrush. I mean, I have thoroughly enjoyed saying the word thrush over and over in this episode. I'm not going to lie. It's not an enjoyable issue to have. Not gonna lie, I used to struggle with it a lot, don't anymore, thankfully. But it is an enjoyable word to say, thrush. It's like rush, but better. Rush always feels like, you know, you're getting cut off too short before the enjoyment begins. But thrush is a good length. Anyway, side note. I get distracted easily. But that's what we're talking about in this episode. But a couple of things. First of all, thank you everyone that's left me a review. I don't know if the reviewing process on iTunes has been a bit weird, but all of a sudden I can see all these new reviews. Thanks, guys. This is awesome. So let me just read the latest one from Rich Wells. If you are Rich Wells and you wrote this review and you want me to send you a little prize, then get in touch. You can DM me, you can Facebook message me, however you want to get in touch. And he said, I found this podcast after struggling with digestion and intolerances for years. It's been a total gift. Such great insights shared in a really uplifting way. Kezia is down to earth and it shares her experience without the usual bias that accompanies other food, diet or related podcasts. I listen every week now as a reminder to stay the course. Ah, I mean, that makes me slightly want to cry in the best possible way. That is why I do this. I really do hope to actually be, I know you can't be unbiased, you know, when you, it's part of the, you know, research principle, everyone comes with their bias. And I do definitely come with my own biases around nutritional science and experience. But I do really want this to be a place free of assumptions and judgments and criticism and shame. That is my goal. And I want to provide you with the options and actually ultimately help you to listen to your body. So thank you for all the reviews, but there's been lots more reviews. I really do read them all. I think they just maybe took a while to come through. If you haven't left me a review, it really helps me to feel good. Not going to lie. But it also actually helps this podcast to reach more people. The more people that can listen to this podcast, the less nonsense people can do when it comes to diet and health. You will know at this time of year, there is a lot of nonsense going on with people and eating and just wrong information being shared. And so the more people that can listen to this, the more that we can help change the world. Ultimately, I know that being educated and empowered and motivated and inspired is one of the best things that you can do in terms of making lasting change. And my goal is to help every woman and man to be the healthiest version of themselves, because I know that when you're the healthiest version, when you're not tired and bloated and sad and anxious and depressed, then you can go on and live the kind of life you want to live and do all those awesome things that you want to do. So thank you for those that left a review. Also, if you are not in my free Facebook group, then I would love you to come along and join. So a history of Kezia and her Facebook group. I have in the past had a Facebook group just for my challenges. But now I am opening up a free Facebook community. I'm opening that group up all the time. So I'm going to be hopping in there every week, doing free mini workshops every week. And occasionally I'm going to be doing some deeper dive workshops for free. It's where you can get the insider goss. I'll be sharing what I eat, answering your questions, Q&A. It's just a really great place. If you struggle with accountability, you need motivation, inspiration, you need a bit of direction, join me in the Facebook group. Now you can find it at facebook.com/groups/KeziaHall, so KezIaHall. You can find a link in the show notes, or if you get my emails, which I'm really hoping you do by now, then you'll also be invited to it. That the best way to join is just via emails, because then you get all the other free goodness as well. So do make sure you do that. And another great way you can join is to do the Gut Goddess quiz. If you haven't done that yet, then make sure you do the quiz. Again, it'll be linked to the show notes, or you can go to supernaturallyhealthy.org/ quiz. And that will also give you an invite to the Facebook group, and you'll also get your kind of personalized plan of action. How fun! So I'd love to hang out with you and actually have like conversations with you throughout the week. And that's kind of why I want to keep the Facebook group open, so that we could keep the conversation and the encouragement and the accountability and the general healthy love going. So join me in there. Otherwise, enjoy this episode all about thrush. Thrush. That is our topic for today. Let's talk about thrush, baby. Let's talk about being itchy. Let's talk about all the smelly things, all the itchy things we can feel. Let's talk about thrush. Let's talk about thrush. I know you're thinking, actually, because you really missed a calling here, you should be some sort of jingle creator. I have thought that often on occasion myself. But in all seriousness, we're talking about thrush today. And I actually can't believe I've not done a podcast on this so far, because this is something that comes up a lot with my clients. And I mentioned it on the social media the other day, and I just got a lot of questions. And also Instagram annoyingly cut off half my video, so you were kind of left on a cliffhanger when I was just talking about thrush, because I'd just been chatting to a client about it. And I was just sharing a couple of snippets. So I thought, let's do a whole episode. So what I'm going to talk about today is just the kind of W's of thrush. So what it is, why you might have it, and what the heck you can do about it, as well as asking a couple of listener questions at the end as well. So thrush, in the context of what we're going to be talking about today, is I'm mainly going to be discussing kind of the reason I get my words all twisted up is, in my head, if you're coming to me as a client, a thrush also would be categorized in a group with other things. So you might have athlete's foot. That would also, in my mind, be a kind of yeast infection. Vaginal thrush, again, that's a more yeast kind of, there's obviously an excess of kind of your yeast strains going on. Then you can also get other skin issues that are more fungal, kind of fungally induced. Someone messaged me the other day about fungal acne. So there's actually quite a broad spectrum, but I'm mainly going to be focusing today on vaginal thrush. So that itchiness that comes all the way down there. For some women, it's constant. Some women, it's at certain points in the period. For some women, it's just when they're on antibiotics or just when they're pregnant. And it can often come with discharge that maybe, that doesn't normally smell, but the discharge might change. And it can also get more severe and become more kind of severe infections as well. But I'm just talking today about general thrush, the thing that is super, super common. Like, this is such a normal thing for women to deal with. But from my perspective, it's actually a big warning sign that there's something up, like out of balance in your microbiome. Yes, it's really common. You know, probably all your girlfriends have a tube of Canesten in their cupboard, but it's not actually normal to be suffering with this consistently. Yeah, a couple of times in a decade, fine, whatever. But if you're consistently getting thrush, like a couple of times a year, maybe every month, or maybe, like, I was chatting with a client recently who feels like she just has it all the time, just mildly, but it's just always a bit itchy, always a bit irritating, and it'll sometimes get worse, but it's always there, then that is not normal. And that is a sign, that is a symptom, that is your body trying to be like, hey guys, I need a bit of help over here. I need some support. And so that's what we're going to be talking about more today. So when, in terms of what it actually is, it's, you could call it a bit of a yeast overgrowth. So it means it basically is a disruption of a microbiome. So with vaginal thrush, you have a very specific kind of microbiome in that whole area. It's a very kind of moist and bacterially rich area. That's why it's so beneficial to give birth to babies through the vaginal canal, because it's like a baptism in bacteria, in all the good bacteria and all the good stuff. And obviously with C-section, you're bypassing that, so you don't get that amazing kind of bacterial baptism on the way out. Now obviously there's things you can do to switch that, but that's why research shows that there's just reduced health risks from that long-term chronic issues from children born through the vaginal canal, because it has its own microbiome. So what I mean by microbiome, because you have your skin microbiome, you have a gut microbiome, which I talk about a lot, and you'll hear, it's a very popular word, the microbiome. People use it and because it makes them sound intelligent, doesn't it? But basically what we're talking about is this kind of ecosystem of bacteria, fungus, some viruses maybe, a whole kind of landscape of diverse, let's just say bacteria, but there's other kind of species and things in there as well. And in different parts of your body, you have different kind of makeups, different ecosystem. It's a bit like a planet. You know, you have like your rainforest, and then in some places you have a desert, and in some places you have damp Scottish weather. You know, it's that kind of, we have slightly different ecosystems. Now, the main ecosystem I talk about is your gut microbiome, and that's like the mothership. But you still have, say, your vaginal microbiome. That's a specific kind of balance of bacteria and yeast and all these kind of things. And what happens with thrush is that microbiome kind of gets shoved out of whack. And what the yeast does, and yeast is a very kind of, it's a pure chancer if you're... It's a terrible Scottish accent. Maybe in Scotland, that's what yeast is. It, meaning it's very opportunistic. So yeast can kind of see when you're down, and it's very ambitious, and it thinks, oh, Kezia's just taking antibiotics. I can see our chance, guys. I can see our chance to rule the roost of this microbiome. Let's grow and overtake. And it kind of starts to overtake and become has dreams of grandeur, let's just say yeast, and there's other bacteria as well. So it's very opportunistic. So it tends to come on the back end of having antibiotics, having a weakened immune system, pregnancy, menopause, or any other hormonal shift might be going on the pill, stress levels. It tends to sort of kick you when you're down, I'm not going to lie. it's a bit of a bugger that way. And so it's very opportunistic. It likes it to think of itself as ruling the roost of your microbiome, but ultimately it's not good if it does that. You will always have yeast in your body and different types and strains, and I'm not going to go into that just for the sake of simplicity here, but you always want it to be kept in check, because within this microbiome, like in any kind of diverse ecosystem, within your gut microbiome, your vaginal microbiome, your nasal microbiome, your skin microbiome, all the different places, you actually are always going to have bacterial or yeast strains that are maybe not that helpful. Meaning, so when I run tests, stool tests for clients, often one of the markers is looked at is certain bacterial markers. And it's often only if bacteria or yeasts grow in excess, if they grow too much, do they actually become pathogenic. But if they're kept in order, basically, if they're kept to the right level, then they are a really important part of this diverse ecosystem. So what we're talking about here with thrush, especially with vaginal thrush, or if for some reason you're a guy listening, you can also get thrush. Then what we're talking about is this kind of disruption, this overgrowth where things have become imbalanced, where it's just the population has become too high of this specific strain and it's causing problems. That's a little bit of what it is. A couple of health and safety warnings before we dive in. It's really important. A couple of years ago, probably before I became a holistic nutritionist / nutritional therapist, it was very popular. The Candida cleanse is basically very popular. So I'm talking about yeast. A commonly known strain of yeast is Candida albicans. So that might be something you've read about in a magazine or on a blog of like the Candida cleanse or Candida detox or getting rid of Candida, all of these kinds of things. And it was very, and still is very popular to do like a Candida cleanse, to get rid of the Candida diet, taking supplements that cleanse out Candida, all of this stuff, very popular, but it can actually also be quite harmful if not done in the proper way. I have had a lot of clients come to me and they have been so convinced that it's just all about the Candida. All their problems are to do with Candida. So they have been cleansing the F out of themselves for years, literally. So they'll be coming to me and they've been taking maybe Candida cleansing supplements for several years. And they're just a little bit obsessed with never having anything remotely sweet because their Candida will come back. And actually that is not healthy and not helpful when it comes to everything. So what I've already mentioned is Candida is very opportunistic. So what I actually find in doing my clinical work and practice with clients is actually that Candida often, not always, but often actually comes off the back of another microbiome disruption, meaning there's maybe small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. There's leaky gut going on. There's another kind of bacterial imbalance in the gut. And as a result of that shift, the yeast is kind of, it's opportunistic. So it's making the most of that. So often I rarely would look at a client's notes and do the research and make the plan and ask the nosy questions and run the tests and find that the only issue is yeast overgrowth. The yeast is often the byproduct of some other imbalance. Now, I have had a few clients where that's not the case. So literally the only thing and most of their symptoms you could put down to yeast overgrowth 100%, but I'd probably say 80% of the time, it's not all about the yeast. The yeast is kind of like just the byproduct of all the other stuff. And if you get obsessed with doing candida cleanses and getting rid of the candida and I just want no yeast in my body, then actually that you often find your progress is limited. And that's what I've seen with clients. They've been doing it for years and they made progress to start with because yeast is a part of the problem. But because they've just focused on candida, they've not done thorough testing, they've not gotten the expertise that they need, they actually have done more damage to their body by like nuclear bombing what they think is candida, and actually they're completely missing the main thing going on, which for some, like, you know, for one of my clients, it was actually a parasite. That was probably one of the main things, and she had small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Those were the main things we needed to focus on, and when we focus on those, actually the yeast was going to take care of itself. But she'd spent years focusing on this yeast and thrush and candida and having no sugar and loads of oregano oil and loads of clove and loads of wormwood, like loads of these really strong herbal things, and actually did more damage to her gut than actually helped. So just a bit of a warning out there. Don't necessarily get sucked into these candida cleanses. You might have done one and it's been really helpful. It's not to say they don't work. And I do actually, I was just chatting to a client the other day and I outlined for her a bit of a candida cleanse. But that was after I did a full holistic health assessment, looked her health history, her symptoms, where she was at, and it did seem appropriate to first start with the candida cleanse before we dive into other things. But it's not the be all and end all, okay? So if you have been on that track for like several months or several years of just like, oh, it's candida, I'm just gonna go on the candida, and you're not getting anywhere or you've made limited progress, it's probably because you're not actually looking at the full holistic whole picture. You've not gathered all the information. There's probably leaky gut going on, meaning intestinal permeability. There's maybe a bacterial infection. Maybe you have a parasite. Maybe your nervous system is absolutely shot. Maybe your immune system is really weakened. Maybe you have estrogen dominance. And so at certain points in your cycle, you're getting just this flood of estrogen that's feeding the yeast. And that's why it's so cyclical. There's so many different things. So don't hear this podcast and just be like, everything is candida. Everything is yeast. No, it's actually, I would say yeast is, if you have an issue with thrush, it's probably 80% of the time because there's other imbalances and weaknesses going on and thrush is kind of coming in the back end. Okay, I think I've made that point. I just don't want you to leave this podcast and be like, I'm just going to take oregano oil for ages. And don't, please, for some reason, people tend to read oregano oil and things like that, or wormwood or berberine, maybe berberine's okay, but clove, all these kinds of things, they are really potent. You do not want to be taking that stuff. I get asked all the time about selling essential oils, and I love essential oils, but sometimes I see the advice that people give around oregano oil, especially, horrendous. Just like, take it every day. It's one of those things to boost your immune system. No. You don't want to take it every day. You really don't. Anyway, just put a side note. You might want to put it on your skin. Even putting it on your skin every day, you don't want to do that. It's things like that. Herbs can be really potent and also microbiome disruptors. So you have got to be strategic and have a clear rationale for them. That's always what I come back to. I know it's not very sexy, but if you're doing anything, if you're making any big changes, taking any supplement, what's your rationale and what's the strategy? If you want to get the best results and the quickest results and the fastest results, what's the strategy and what's your rationale? If you do not have a strategy or a rationale, you are wasting your money and wasting your time. Okay. Oh, I feel like I'm being all, honestly, on a total side note, I am, be prepared. There's lots of work going on internally. And so I am just getting a little bit more, what's the word? Feisty, maybe? I'm just saying it as it is. I'm relatively blunt, but I'm becoming blunter, guys. Just warning you. Less cozy, more just honest and to the point. Anyway, okay, so that is, we've talked about what it is. Okay, let's talk, I've touched on this a little bit, but let's just be clear. Why might you have it? Okay, antibiotics. If you've been exposed to antibiotics either a lot as a child, so I haven't had antibiotics personally for maybe 10 years, maybe 12 years. I don't know. A really long time. I have not had antibiotics. I have not given my son antibiotics. He will get antibiotics if it's life-threatening, but if it's not life-threatening, he's not going to get them. And so antibiotics, again, because why is that? Because it disrupts your microbiome. So antibiotics, if you had loads as a child, so as a child, I was constantly on antibiotics, constantly. I had tonsillitis all the time, sick all the time, literally those banana flavored antibiotics. I had them all the freaking time. So actually, even now, I'm still like repairing my gut microbiome from that, which was like 20 years ago. So you might be like, oh no, because I'm like you, I've not had antibiotics for ages. But if you had lots at one point, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, there might still be, obviously that you're not actively taking them, but you might still have the damage kind of left over that you've not properly healed from. Or maybe you've recently had a terrible infection, or you've needed to take antibiotics, or you've just had them in the last couple of years or so, or maybe you take them regularly, or maybe you are on constant low-grade antibiotics for rosacea or UTI or whatever it is. That is a big contributor to ongoing thrush. So that's the first thing. Another one is just a lowered immune system. So if you have a kind of a viral infection, and like, you know, your obvious ones might be like Epstein-Barr, but if you have like an ongoing viral issues that maybe you had the flu and you've had chronic fatigue since, then that kind of indicates maybe like a weakened immune system, or you just always had colds, flus, sniffles, that can also kind of set the scene for that. Hormone imbalance. So that might be pregnancy, obviously, where your hormones become more imbalanced. A lot of women experience more thrush in pregnancy, and they maybe don't get it at any other time. Menopause, again, because you're having that hormonal shift, or you might just have out of whack hormones just in general, or with the pill as well, because the pill is a microbiome disruptor. Again, it can contribute to the thrush. These are all potential things. These are not definitive A plus B equals C. These are more contributing potential factors, just to make that really clear. There's not a definite, if you go to the doctor and ask about thrush, they're not going to say, oh, the reason you have thrush is definitely this. There's a whole range of different reasons and schools of thoughts, because it's obviously not a life-threatening thing in the immediate factor. But from my holistic perspective, it is an indicator that there's microbiome disruption. If your microbiome is disrupted, it literally affects everything. So other reasons can be other bacterial infections going on in imbalances or gut issues, SIBO, intestinal permeability, that kind of thing, and just really high stress as well. So meaning your nervous system is on high alert and feels threatened. Even if you don't feel stressed, even if you don't, you're like, no, everything in my life is fine. But if your nervous system doesn't feel fine and you're constantly on an unconscious level, like freaked out, then again, that has a big effect on the rest of your body. So those are the potential whys. Also, high sugar diet. If you eat a lot of carbohydrates, a lot of refined carbohydrates, and a lot of sugar, whether it be through fizzy juice or through orange juice or sugar or natural sweeteners, a high sugar diet, Candida lives off of sugar. It uses it, that's its food. So if your diet basically consists of carbs for every meal with then added sugar as snacks, again, that is going to be, in a way, you could argue, disrupting your microbiome in terms of the types of food you're giving for the bugs, and you're giving more of the sugary foods for the more opportunistic bugs, yeast, whatever. So that could be another reason as well. And there's lots of other reasons you might have. So I had a client, it's her yeast overgrowth, when we looked at a stool test, there was excess yeast, but it kind of, I suspect, came from actually getting a parasite when she traveled in her early 20s, and then off the back of that got yeast. So parasites can be inadvertently a contributing factor. So there's lots of reasons, which is why ideally you need to work with someone like me, and we can figure that out of why you have it, because everyone is slightly different. So then we know what it is. I've done the health and safety warning so that you're not all just going to go and do a candida cleanse and do more harm than good. We know a little bit more of why you might have it. So now I want to talk about, what can you do about it? What are some of the actions and the things that you can put in place to help with this? Because honestly, I've had clients where this is miserable. Like, they are struggling all the time. It obviously, these things can impact your sex life, your confidence. It's uncomfortable being in a meeting and being all itchy and just having to like swivel around in your chair. It can be really bad. It can feel really uncomfortable. Some people have it all the time. Some of my clients, it just will flare up and really knock them for six in a way. So what can you do about it? So the first thing actually you want to look at is have a think about why you have it in the first place, because that will actually indicate if you, and this is what I do with clients, if we can take a good educated guess or ideally run tests so that we know exactly what it is, have actual data, if we can gather data of why something might be an issue, then you have a much clearer idea of the strategy to take and you have your rationale to take it. So if you know, you're like, oh yeah, Kezia, I've been on loads of antibiotics. Last year I had tonsillitis and then an ear infection and then I had took this from my skin and then I had this antibiotic cream. I've actually been on loads of antibiotics in the last year. Then actually, okay, we know there's a good reason there's been that big microbiome disruption. And with antibiotics, basically when you take antibiotics, they go into your microbiome, they just kill everything. They just, it's just, there's not, it's not that selective. It's just kill, destroy, destroy it all. Like a big nuclear bomb going off. And so you can see how on a blank canvas, then this opportunistic, especially then if you eat higher sugar diet or get stressed or have hormonal imbalance, you can see how then easily the yeast goes, oh, yes, this is our chance to rule the roost. Grow, my friends, grow. And it can become a problem. So if that's the case, then you know that's, you know, you can have a bit more of a clear idea of strategy. If you maybe have recently had a baby, you've gone through some huge hormonal shifts. So, you know, actually, I think this is maybe to do with hormonal balance. So, you know, maybe it's not necessarily to do because with antibiotics, you maybe not had antibiotics. So it's not like your bacteria has completely disappeared, but there's maybe yours is more to do with, okay, let's focus on balancing hormones and maybe stress levels and actually really recovering and recovering from birth and pregnancy and all those nutrients that get lost. Just to reiterate, having a baby is a huge, huge, I was going to say burden on the body, but I don't mean that emotionally. And obviously, most of us love the babies that we have. But in terms of just from a very cellular nutritional perspective, there's a lot of depletions. It is a huge activity for the body and has a huge consequence. And that's why we need to be really intentional and create a culture of recovery from pregnancy, from birth, and even from those first 6 months of having a newborn, because they can be really intense. So if you've had, maybe you've had a couple of babies and you're like, I kind of felt fine before I had kids and now I've had two or three, I am like, feel in absolute shreds. I see this all the time with clients. It might be because you've not had enough of a recovery period. So I work with clients sometimes and they had their babies like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. And actually what we do is kind of a recovery process from that period of time, because they've not, culturally we don't get given the tools on how to recover. Now, I've done loads of podcasts outlining my journey. I was very clear that I want to recover as best as I knew how. I certainly haven't been perfect at it, but I do feel really recovered from having a baby, and because I've been super intentional about it. So okay, so think about why you might have it. Have a think about that. And then let's talk about some general strategies in terms of what to do. So I've already mentioned sugar. So if you, one of the first things you want to do is just be less addicted to sugar. Stop your sugar addiction, the sugar cravings. And if you have a lot of yeast overgrowth, you will probably crave sugar more than the average person, probably more than your partner or your friend. Like, your partner might like sweets, but you know, give or take them. But as you're like, I need the sweets now. That is often that kind of almost like that yeast talking in a way. Your sugar cravings can be much more extreme than other people. So no, it's not like your fault. It's not a personal failing. It's not because of a lack of discipline. It can be because there's this microbiome disruption and your body is, and it's wanting to be fed the right fuel. So the first thing you want to do is deal with sugar. And some people go really extreme with this. I tend to find that just ditching refined sugar and do that first, step one, and then focusing on 1 to 2 portions of naturally sweet foods a day is normally fine. And everyone's slightly different. Some clients have had to just go like to 1 portion of naturally sweet things a day or 0, and others can deal with a bit more. But you basically want to ditch all refined sugar. And then And actually, a great thing, you should join the Flourish Academy. Actually, thinking about it, I'm like, what resources do I have? But the Flourish Academy, it's a four-week program, includes a sugar detox, gut healing process. If you have candida issues and thrush issues and you're like, oh, this is doing my nut in, head over to my shop. I'll put it in the show notes and join me in the Flourish Academy. You can self-study, but you'll get a bit of email support from me. Honestly, it's a four-week reset and it will do your gut so much good. And if you want help with a sugar detox and recipes and meal plans, again, the Flourish Academy is for you. You can start at any point and I'll put a link in the show notes. Anyway, so start with sugar. And then you don't need to go crazy about it, but you do want to remove refined sugar and you want to focus on eating more of your fats and proteins and less on carbs, not because carbohydrates are bad, but you don't want to be having toast for breakfast, pasta salad for lunch, and couscous for dinner. Those are all very carb-based meals. You might want to have a smoothie for breakfast, some soup and oat cakes for lunch, and then maybe a stir fry for dinner with a small amount of rice. So you really want to look at sugar. Now, sugar is obviously refined sugar, but it's also carbohydrates. So you want to find what I would call your carbohydrate tolerance with that. And everyone is slightly different, but nobody needs refined sugar in their diet. So that would be where I start. And if you want more help with that, then do the Flourish Academy. But sugar is the first thing that you want to deal with. And if you're at the start of this process, refined sugar. You want to get that out of your diet and focus on naturally sweet things. So fruits, dates, raw honey. Then once that's step one, step two would then be to reduce that naturally sweet things like the raw honey or the apples or the bananas, reduce that to 1 to 2 servings a day. So what I mean is you might have a naked bar, which is a fruit and nut bar for all you American or foreign listeners, like, you know, a fruit and nut mushed together bar that would count as one naturally sweet thing. And then you might have a banana in your smoothie. Those would be your two portions of the day. So you're not constantly eating fruit, you're not constantly eating dates or having date sweetened things. And you would do that for a good couple of weeks and that can really help. So that's one thing that you can do. The next thing you can do is take a specific strain of, especially if you've had antibiotics or have consistent recurring thrush, a specific strain of probiotic, which is actually a yeast called Saccharomyces boulardii. And I'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's a single strain probiotic that's really, really helpful if you have yeast overgrowth because it's a bit like Pac-Man, meaning it's kind of like a yeast-eating substance. There's some great research around it post-antibiotics. It's a really safe thing to take. I took it all throughout pregnancy. I didn't have any issues with thrush prior to getting pregnant, but I knew that in pregnancy, again, you've got a big microbiome disruption going on, both vaginally and within your gut microbiome because you're having this baby. So I kind of just did that preventative and I didn't have any issues in pregnancy at all. I've not had issues with thrush actually for a really long time. I used to basically kind of have it sort of all the time, which was deeply unpleasant. And so a Saccharomyces boulardii, you want to be taking that before food. There's no contraindications with other medications that I am aware of, and it's a really great one to help. And you can ramp it up as well, start with one a day. And often what I'll do with clients for a set period of time, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, get them to ramp it up to 2 or 3, maybe even 4 a day, especially if I suspect maybe some parasite activity, and then bring it back down. And if you're doing that along with reducing the sugar, that can really help. I probably would say if you're still eating a really high carbohydrate and high sugar diet, I'm not sure taking the probiotic will make much difference. But if you pair it, if you supplement your diet with it, because that's what supplements are for. So if you just take random supplements hoping they'll work without actually making any dietary changes, it's a bit of a waste of money. But if you can make that nutritional foundation, so number one, your food being your medicine, and then supplement that and boost that activity with some probiotics or other things, and that can be really helpful. So that would be a great thing to do. And even if, like, depending on where you're at and how systemic this kind of overgrowth is within your system, for some people that can be enough. Doing that for a month or two of just keeping focused on a low sugar, low refined carbohydrate diet, having some good probiotics in there can be enough to help. And then also you've got topical things that can help. Coconut oil can be really useful to apply topically. You can get other natural kind of topical creams that are alternatives to things like Canesten. Because things like Canesten and your over-the-counter creams or even the medications you get from the doctor are very much plaster. So they're not dealing with the root cause. They're just going to help remove the symptoms, but it doesn't ever address the why, which is why it can be recurring. So those would be a couple of things that you could do. Other questions is that I had around it was someone asked on Instagram, they said they had loads of issues with it, with thrush, and then they had a baby and pregnancy, and then since having a baby, it's gone away. And they were like, why is that? Why did it go away? I mean, they were happy it's gone away. And again, after you've listened to this podcast, that should make more sense. You've kind of had a big microbiome disruption and it's worked for you in the positive, because it can, with pregnancy, you never quite know what you're going to get. For some folk, I've had clients where they've literally been healthiest person ever, healthy childhood, healthy adulthood, get pregnant, everything goes off. Other people, really unhealthy, and actually they maybe have a baby and they actually, there's some things that really improve after pregnancy and after giving birth. So pregnancy, you know, you're never quite sure what you're going to get there. So that would be the reason for that. I had a couple of questions around recurrence, like why does it keep on recurring? And it'll probably be, if you keep having recurring thrush, it's because you're not dealing with the root of the issue. So the creams or the pills or whatever will help with the symptoms, which is important because it can be really uncomfortable, but they're never actually addressing the root issue of, okay, we've got this yeast overgrowth in the microbiome and maybe we're feeding that with sugar. Maybe we've got a lack of bacterial diversity in the gut to keep these yeast guys in check, because you do need other strains of bacteria that and you need them in abundance because they almost help to keep the yeast in check. And if you don't have that diversity, if you've had a lot of microbiome disruption through the pill, through antibiotics, through stress levels, trauma, then actually you probably don't have that diverse level of bacteria keeping the yeast in check. So if you have it thrush recurring all the time, it's because you've not gotten to the root of the issue. And I hope that this podcast has helped with that in terms of outlining why you have it and some of the things you can do. So I'll put some of the things that I talked about and links to things in the show notes. But I hope that it has been helpful. And I would love it. If you have more questions about this, you can go to Instagram. You can go to Facebook. You can private message me, leave a comment. You can send me an email if you want to. And I'd love to answer more questions on this. This isn't something you just need to deal with and live with and endure. This isn't something you need to be embarrassed about or shameful of. This isn't something that needs to be totally destroying your sex life and your confidence. It's really common. Lots of people struggle with it, but it's not normal. It's a sign that there's something out of whack, and there's so much that you can do to support your microbiome and to just live thrush free. That's hard to say fast. Thrush free. But you can. I've seen it with loads of clients I've worked it with. I've seen it with myself. Men and women. I know it's mainly women listening to this, but if you're a man listening to this, these things still apply. Okay, have an amazing week. Don't forget to join me in my Facebook group if you're not already a member. I'm so excited. That's like the hub of fun and community and where I'm going to be hanging out. Otherwise, I will see you next week for another Gut Goddess episode. Bye.